Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is recorded in the letter, the ancient book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Speak, for your servant hears," Samuel answered. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this reading thrusts us in the middle of the ancient history of Israel during a time when the people have turned their backs on God, and when there are a few people really taking the time to even listen to God. Eli, the temple priest under whom the boy Samuel mentioned here is serving the Lord, Eli has two priest sons who are symptomatic of all of Israel. They are, the scriptures say, as worthless men, blasphemous, treating God's offerings with contempt. The women are serving at the temple and they're having sexual relations with him. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, our text says. The word for rare here means precious and is used to describe costly gemstones in a number of other places in the Old Testament. This opening reminds us of the Old Testament prophet Amos, who warned also God's people in about the 8th century B.C., because of the sinfulness of the people. He said God was going to, quote, "send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of God. They shall wander sea to sea, run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." Josiah, 8-year-old king of Israel, about a century after Amos took the throne, during a time of idolatry, and Josiah was a young man, and even at a young age, like Samuel, his heart was turned towards God. He found favor in God's eyes. During his time, a century later, there was no word of God to be found. It had been lost entirely. How in the world do you lose the word of God that has been given to the very people of God? One day a copy of the law was found, and when it was read to the king, he ripped his clothing, took despair at what he saw all around him. Idolatry everywhere. False idols built from the top to the bottom of Israel, even in the temple. And even after his reforms, he could not stop God's judgment. The people had so invested themselves in other gods that they could not even turn back to the true God. Today seems different, doesn't it? It's a reverse famine, a blowout feast of information. The Word of God is everywhere. The Bible is still the number one bestseller, but are we any different than ancient Israel? You can ask a student, would you turn to Isaiah 6:3, and we can pull out a smartphone and say, well, which of my 25 versions would you like me to read? It's there. Of course, the question remains not how many versions do you have, do you read any of them? Do we really? In the 2012 American Bible Society survey, 46% of Americans couldn't differentiate between the teachings of the Bible, the Quran, or the Book of Mormon. As the ABS president put it, quote, there are probably five Bibles on every shelf in American homes, and as I just noted, maybe 25 on my smartphone. Americans buy the Bibles, they debate the Bible, they love the Bible, they just don't read the Bible. Ironic, isn't it? The word of the Lord is rare in our days, not because it's not present, but because people do not take it seriously, even us. We spend 9 hours a day Googling. How much time do we spend searching the scriptures? You know, it can happen to us what happened to ancient Israel. We can forget what God has told us. Study the accounts mentioned above, and you find that God brought judgment on these people because of their failure to repent of their sins. And that's the whole point. God's word has a continual call to repentance, because we're all sinners. Even though we may be believers, we're sinners. But like a diamond against black velvet, this text offers to us the example of a boy, Samuel. Perhaps 12 years old or less, recalling Jesus' words, doesn't it? Unless you become like little children. There's something about being a child. There's a kind of an innocence in receiving things. That was certainly the case with Samuel. When God called Samuel three times, his response was always a hearty, here am I. Now, how many of us would feel that way if we were awakened in the middle of the night three times and people kept saying, I didn't call you. Each time he was a willing servant. And then the day came when the Lord himself appeared face to face and calling him by name. And Samuel willingly replied, speak, for your servant hears. We are not living in the time of Samuel when the word of God is rare. We are living in the 21st century when the word of God is rare, in another sense, in people not taking it seriously. But the question is its message to me a rare thing? Because I don't read it. This is the New Testament, and we know the outcome of the story, how God revealed his rare and precious love to us clearly in his Son, Jesus Christ. And during this preseason, as we move forward to Lent, we remind ourselves of the sacrifice that Christ gave on our behalf. Peter, in his first epistle, uses the very same Greek word that our text today uses as found in the Septuagint translation in the Old Testament. Very same word that they use to translate that Hebrew word comes to us in the Greek word, and it means precious. In Peter's epistle, Jesus is called the living and chief cornerstone, and, quote, to you who believe, he is precious, rare. In this gluttonous age of information where people spend 9 hours a day on the internet, and there's nothing wrong with spending time on the internet, the question always is that it's balance, isn't it? We need to retrieve the childlike willingness of Samuel to hear God's word, to set aside time for it in our lives, because we are the benefactors. In 1 Samuel 3:19, it says that, quote, "The Lord was with Samuel and let none of his words fall to the ground." We live in an age when one can wonder if how many of God's words do not fall to the ground. Our culture is glutted by technology and lots of other distractions, but unable to distinguish between the Bible, the Quran, or the Book of Mormon. And no wonder people then don't know what the Bible teaches about marriage, about sexual relations between people, what is authorized and what isn't. 46% of the people couldn't tell the difference between whether it was the Quran or the Book of Mormon. Do you suppose that they're going to know the difference of what God says about all of his commandments, or even how salvation is found and where it is found? We as redeemed children of God, daily tempted by the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, to lose the gospel of hope, we also need to repent daily and to capture in our lives the spirit of the boy Samuel. The prophet Jeremiah expressed the thought so well when he reminded us that not only did he call us by our name, but he has called us by his name as those whom he loves. "Your words," Jeremiah wrote, "were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." Amen.